You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online all over the magnificent planet that God has provided for all of us.
That's right. On 1510wwbc.com, you can get all of our archive shows as well as listen live each and every Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You just select 1510wwbc.com and hit that Listen Live button and be able to get us on any one of your streaming devices. And, of course, also there, if you hit the On Demand button, you can go by date and you'll see all of our shows that are listed there. Of course, we post all of that on our Facebook pages, SitaMediaInc.com and Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and then also on our website, which is SitaMediaInc.com.
Right.
We have it everywhere.
Today we are very, very happy to have one of our show's sponsors with us. Lisette's Cajun Bistro is here. And Liz Johnson is here. She's going to say a quick hello. She's a little shy. I don't know why. You could say a little hello.
She's a performer. She's not shy.
I'm not always shy.
She's resting.
Every once in a while.
She's resting. So for our listeners who are tuning in for the first time to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we sit here on Mondays and we speak with people who are opening a business, running a business, running for office, trying to save money, trying to spend money, want to write a book, don't want to write a book, want to meditate, whatever it is you want. You have, this is our platform. We give people a voice on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Allie Tambor is here. She's our guest intern that comes, resident guest that comes all the time with Ellen. And Ellen O'Neill is here, my co-host. We've been on air for 14 years. Thank God. We're going on 15 years. And I have to say, my good friends at Bacasca at the Caribbean Gala gave us a big round of applause this weekend. You must know your own people, the Caribbean people. They just showed up. That's and right. They put our information about our show or ad on the front page. As soon as you open the cover, there was Ellen and I advertising our show. And I was the MC for the event as well. So we've had a great weekend, and now we've got two good friends in the studio with us. Lisette is going to be second, Lisette Bistro. First, my good friend Renee Torpy, her husband is running for office right here in Brevard County, Florida. He is a rarity in the Sunshine State, and he's going to speak to us in a little bit about running for city council in Indian Harbor Beach, correct?
Yes, thank you, Sita.
Well, thank you for being here. But Ellen, before we do that, in order for Mr. Doug to come on today, we had a gal that I met at ABWA, an ABWA sister, and she could not make it today to come and talk about her homeschooling because, obviously, she is homeschooling. So she sent us the information, and we're going to run an ad for her.
Right, for absolutely. It. So Matthew Eric Academy, and Eric is spelled E-R-I-K for this application. It's an academic support center. It's located in Melbourne. And I don't know about you, Sita, but I get asked all the time about tutors, for my friends' children and so forth. So this is a great opportunity. The Matthew Eric Academy provides academic support, tutoring, enrichment, and socialization opportunities for homeschoolers and for virtual school students. They're open 2 days a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10:30 to 2:30, and students are welcome to come for all or for part of that time. They have a mixed age and grade levels at the academy, as well as two certified teachers and three teacher assistants. So students bring their own schoolwork and the materials that they need, and they work independently on their assignments. And the teacher and the teacher assistants offer help and support when needed, as well as they provide soft skill lessons such as note-taking, organizational skills, and time management. I remember taking a life skills class like that in college. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of breaks throughout the day for the socialization, the enrichment, and the fun. Their academy is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. It is a subset of the Matthew Eric Foundation, which was named in memory of Matthew Eric Falcone as a beloved Brevard County school teacher who lost his life to early onset dementia at the young age of 39. Their philosophy at the academy is to be a little more Matt, as Matt was a teacher who loved to make his students laugh and show them that learning can be fun. So you want to visit MatthewEric.com for more information. It's a fantastic website, very easy to navigate. And don't forget, that name is Matthew Eric, MatthewEric.com.
Great. And if anyone needs further information, Kim Colucci is my friend, and she's our ABWA sister, and I'm sure she'll be on with us another time. So, yeah, I mean, homeschooling for some people is, they love it because they're able to control what their children are reading and the environment, and they do socialize a lot. They have a lot of outings and things, and I think a lot of young moms are looking towards doing that, especially if you have little kids at home.
Well, and new ideas, I'm sure, too, and, you know, kind of brainstorming of new techniques. And
just,
I mean, that must
option.
Be challenging, yeah.
Well, life is about choices, right? And it's great that we have that choice for students here in Brevard County, Florida.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, now we're going to go right to our friend, Mr. Torpy.
Thank you.
He likes to be called Doug. And he's married to a wonderful friend, Renee, who supports our show and has been on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends before. So, Mr. Doug, what got you into politics? Of course, we know your wife is also run for judge, but let's see why you got involved.
Well, I got involved. It's always been a calling of mine. I've gotten in a position with my work life and everything that I have the time to expand on that calling. I volunteer with many organizations. I volunteer with the school, you know, and I see what goes on, and I'd like to have a say in maintaining what's good and correcting anything that I see that's not great in our community.
Right, and tell our listeners a little bit about your small business. You're a small business owner as well.
Yes, I'm a 7-Eleven franchisee. I have a store up in the Vieira area. It's been a great pleasure to own. It started out, you know, a little tough. It was a lot of hours in the beginning, but I've got a rock star team in there. It took a long time to build that, but they do a fantastic job at running the place, and I do a more of a overseeing, bookkeeping, making sure everything's kept up to the standards of the franchise agreement now.
Right, and you know, owning a small business, you do get involved in the intricate parts of running the business with fiscal responsibility, staffing, teamwork. You also have the element of customer service. It's almost like being in politics, honestly, when you own a small business.
Oh, absolutely. We're playing politics with customers. We're playing politics with employees. And,
vendors.
Vendors. And the budgets are so tight. It's amazing that you make money. You know, you look at the total that you start with, and it's an astronomical total. But then the expenses are huge, too. And at the end of the day, the percentages that you walk away with it are just, they're not what anyone might expect.
Right. And there's a lot of cutting. You have to. It's budgeting.
Absolutely.
My dad was a small business owner. He owned a grocery store. And I remember when we were little, we learned the word overdraft when we were 3 and 4 years old, because we would hear them whispering in the night about overdraft. And we're like, what is this overdraft all about? And it was that when you didn't have money, the bank covered it and charged you a fee.
Well, and it's not just me who I'm worried about, you know, me, my family, but I have employees, and, you know, they actually have to come first. Their payroll has to come long before mine does. Even if I have to cover it out of my own, you know, my own assets, they're the ones that get paid first, and they've got to pay for their families and their housing and their food and their cars. And, you know, it's a dedication.
To
have staff.
Yeah, I mean, I know when my husband had his practice, there was a couple of times when we had to pull from our savings and put into our business so that we could make payroll, because we had a lot of checks that were outstanding from insurance companies to, you know, when they took care of patients and stuff. And I remember my husband saying to me, because, you know, I had to put my nose in there and help out a little bit with the bookkeeping and payroll. And I remember him saying to me a couple of times, don't give me a check this week, or don't write me a check next week or whatever. Make sure the employees get paid, because most important was health insurance. people needed to have their health care. And I could hear that you're also dedicated to that as well, making sure
healthcare,
they have health care and their wages.
So it's so expensive and so difficult to maintain something for people. You know, we fight for it for ourselves, and I fight for that for my employees all the time.
Right. So as a board member of the Indian Harbor Beach City Council, what exactly does that job entail? What do you get to do?
So City Council, you have to think of it, it's like the board of directors of a company. The board of directors hire the CEO, in our case it'd be our city manager, and our city manager then hires the rest of the staff to fill the other positions in the company. You know, the city kind of runs like a big company. The city council are the ones that vote on larger financial issues, you know, long-term projects, big spending activities. They also get to vote on any new ordinances that might come in place.
Right. And you love the environment. The ecosystem there in Indian Harbor Beach is so beautiful.
We're on the ocean, the river.
Yes, and that's one of your top three in your platform. So tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit about what you plan to do further to preserve the ecosystem in Indian Harbor Beach.
So I've always been an outdoorsman, so I, of course, appreciate the outdoors, and we have a wonderful city. And there are things that can be, you know, fixed and addressed. You know, we have some invasive species issues that are currently being addressed. We have, you know, the Brazilian pepper in our parks that they're working on getting rid of right now. The waterways are one of the things that really needs some addressment. We have a lot of the bacterial growth and the slime and the muck that build up in there from the runoff from fertilizing your lawns. And it's a tough issue. You know, it's hard to tell somebody, no, don't make your lawn green. But at the same time, we want to protect our Indian River Lagoon. And as a city on the barrier island, it's our job to try to help preserve that Indian River Lagoon.
And do you get to vote on permits as well in the city council? Because we just had I don't know if you'd heard the show last week, but we just had the Clean Water folks on, Clean Water for Florida. And they talk about the permitting of, like, companies being allowed to dump and being allowed to kind of pollute, if you will.
So that's not something that we would vote on at the council level, but that's something that we could discuss, you know, if there's something that the city has a voice in, it could be discussed at the council level. And working with our city manager, you know, who works with our lobbyists to state our position in those matters is important aspect of city council also.
Yeah, because Indian Harbor Beach is growing. It's grown quite a bit, right?
We've got about 9,000 residents currently. You know, we're not going to get any bigger in land mass. We're 2.7 square miles.
That's right, that's the land. So, Mr. Tarpey, you're a business owner. And so tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, your experience owning your own business. You're going to bring that experience to the city council, hopefully. We're hoping that you would
have a seat. Absolutely.
And how will your business acumen contribute to the effective management of the city's resources and the citizens that live there?
Well, I've been very successful in managing my budgets and other budgets for other companies that I've worked for and managed in the past. They are, you know, the ones I've worked for in the past are still thriving and running strong. I also have to manage a lot of employees and requests of employees and, you know, employees that don't work well with other employees or work better with other employees. And it's a constant struggle to maintain a budget, employees, you know, health and well-being, and, you know, all the inventory needed for the business. You know, the city has its own inventory needs. We need to have materials to, you know, work on water mains and work on other infrastructure items.
Yes.
So.
And you know, of all things, when people talk about what they do for a living, some people, when you speak with them, you could tell they're exhausted, but you're not exhausted at all. You enjoy what you do as a business owner. You enjoy what you do as a dad, as a husband. And in addition to that, you find a time to volunteer, like on space flight. So talk to our listeners a little, because oftentimes you find mothers juggling, right? Young lady, you're juggling quite a bit there.
I juggle a lot. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. It keeps me active. You know, the kids keep me very active. Like you said, Space Coast Honor Flight is somewhere where I volunteer also. And it's a very rewarding, it's emotionally rewarding. This most recent orientation, I had the honor of escorting a World War II vet. And, you know, there's not a lot of those left out there. He just turned 100 years old on the 8th. And, I mean, that is an amazing accomplishment. He was probably the healthiest person in the room, too. He was on no medications to speak of. He no diabetes. He walked. He climbed stairs.
I hope you ask him his what.
We were fighting over where he hid the Fountain of Youth.
Yeah.
And the guy was amazing. I mean, honestly, he was amazing. He's healthier than I am, and he's 100 years old now.
How did community involvement become such a significant part of your life? Because we see a lot of dads out there, and they're exhausted by the evening time. They're too tired to even say hello to the neighbors sometime. But here you are involved in the business and the community so much. How did
I really enjoy people. I really enjoy getting out there and meeting new people. That's really the highlight of my day is when I get to go do that. In this campaign process, I've met so many new people that I'd never met before. And I've heard so many stories. I pull people and what their concerns are with the city. And I just, it's really a rewarding feeling to know that many people and, you know, become part of their lives in a way.
Right. So if someone were to go on Facebook or search the web, it would say Doug Torpy for City Council Seat 1?
Yes.
So
yes.
Give us your website and where people can find you and know a little bit about your platform.
So votetorpy.com. is my website, and votetorpy@gmail.com. They can email me, and then my Facebook page is Douglas Torpy for Indian Harbor Beach City Council Seat 1.
So for our listeners who are tuning in, we are speaking with Mr. Douglas Torpy. He is a true rarity here in the Sunshine State. He's a Florida native, deeply rooted in our community, as you've just heard, and he's born and raised in our state as well. You've spent a lot of your formative years outdoors as well. You're an outdoors kind of guy, too.
Yeah, I volunteer with the Coastal Conservation Association.
Again, how many? Danny's trying to figure out if he can get as busy as you are. All he does is fishing and run the station. Yeah. So Mr. Torpy, what would you say is your biggest inspiration?
Oh, you know, my kids are pretty amazing. I really want them to see what the world has to offer. I've sheltered them from being show ponies in this whole process, but they are very interested in everything going on. They ask a lot of questions, and I really encourage that. And I want them to see how the civics of our great country work.
That's right, and it's good when you instill those values early, and I'm sure Renee does too. Sure. I know we do in our house. We everything becomes a discussion. So if you wanted to get somebody to vote for you, everyone has a 30-second to a 60-second elevator speech, and that should include three of the most pressing issues for you. So tell our listeners why they should vote for Doug Torpy for City Council Group 1. Seat 1, and what are your issues, if you could incorporate that for us?
Well, you know, the fact that I've got the experience in managing people and managing budgets, I've got budgets that I've managed in the past that are larger than what our city runs now. I've managed as many personnel as what our city currently has, and I've been very successful with that. So that makes me, you know, I feel qualified for the position, but I have a true love for meeting people and dealing with the people and making sure that that we have the right policies, and that I want to keep our, you know, taxes low and everything in our wonderful city. I really want to maintain our city. I have an appreciation for the environment. I want to maintain that. I want to make sure that we kind of go back to more of the native species movement, which has been a very popular thing amongst people that are concerned with our environment. And I really want to make it a great place for my kids to grow up.
I don't know, Ellen, if you've been to that big park right there in Indian Harbor Beach, the one right next to the yacht club across the street.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Often.
Gleason Park. Have you been there, Ellen?
Oh, yes.
That is like a show place of parks.
Indeed. It's a great place just to grab something from a restaurant and go over there and eat it outside a little bit. It's lots of things to see, even if you just sit still.
Yeah, I see Liz is shaking her head. You've been there. I love Gleason Park.
We used to go there and rollerblade and, you know, have picnics and stuff when they were little.
Yeah.
So the community, that community, that particular part of the community is fantastic and lovely as far as from an upkeep standpoint. It's not like I always complain about the stuff in Palm Bay. On my city council in Palm Bay, that's what I talk about, roads and access roads and so forth.
It's pretty beautiful, but
It's overall it's really, really nice. What are some of the challenges that Indian Harbor Beach has experienced before that you really kind of want to bring maybe as part of your opportunity that you'd like to bring to life?
One of the biggest things that scares me right now with Indian Harbor Beach is, you know, Indian Harbor Beach is a beautifully run city, and it has been for a long time. We don't see a lot of changeover in council. This year, we're going to see three people change in 1 year. It's never happened. It's unprecedented in our council. So putting the right people on there now to keep our city running the way it's running is an important thing. You know, we have one of the lowest tax rates of all cities in the county, and we run with a surplus. Not so much that we're overtaxing people, but just enough that we're prepared in case something comes up that we really need to throw some money at. We run a balanced budget. You know, it is one of the most important things right now is keeping Indian Harbor Beach running well.
Well, and you know what it is, too? A lot of people who run for office, and we've had so many that have been on our show, including myself. I ran myself. A lot of people talk about transparency. A lot of people talk about accountability. And a lot of people talk about getting their constituents to get their voices heard. So how do you plan to get the voices of the people heard in city council or when they come to speak to you?
So one of the things I've done, which is kind of scary, everybody that gets a piece of information from me, it includes my cell phone number. So I've got it on my business cards, and it's the phone number I've had for 15 years or so.
So you can expect a lot of texts.
I will be getting texts and phone calls and emails, and I get them now. And I usually take the emails from my election email, but I usually respond from my personal email, so they have that as well. And I do get quite a few texts, and it's actually great. I love hearing from people. I hear a lot of people that, you know, say they don't know who to call, they don't know who to talk to, and I'm like, well, I may not be the right person right now to talk to. I hope to be in the future, but I can probably link you up with the person that you need to talk to now. And I've been doing that.
Well, you know, people should not run for office if they're not a people person. Because in order to do good for the community, in order to get your plans activated, to speak to the other people in your council, you have to be able to communicate. You have to have that personality where people feel like you're listening, you're hearing them. And you have to have like an open door policy, sort of.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people run for office and they don't understand that you still legislate for the people who didn't vote for you. It's all of us. Once you win, you've got to say, hey, listen, call the person, say, I'm sorry you didn't win, concede or whatever. You know, if you lost, you concede. If you win, you say, I'm still here. We are all one, like you said earlier.
It's funny. People ask me about things that are maybe not necessarily ideas that I agree with, but, you know, in my polling of the city, I find that might be the majority opinion. And I tell them, look, I'm not being elected to represent myself and what I want. I'm being elected to represent you and what you want as a city. So if the majority of the city wants something, you know, that's the direction I want to go. Now, my job is to make sure that's done in a way that, you know, goes with our city codes and it doesn't violate any state laws. But I'm going to vote on matters to the best of my ability that are what the city residents want that also align with state laws and local ordinances.
Right. And the other thing is, to a lot of people, when they run for office, their constituents, the citizens who care, the people who actually put skin in the game and get a voter's registration card and checks their ID and checks their addresses and vote. And some people vote in all elections, local, state, federal, right? But most of them will say to you, I want to know how my tax dollars are being spent. And I'm sure you hear that a lot.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I invited quite a few people the last couple city council meetings. We were going over the fiscal year 24 budget. And I'm like, if you want to see how money's getting spent, this is the time to show up because it's all out there in the open. They can get it any time, but it was a great time to come in because, you know, you have public comments at the end of every meeting and they can voice their concerns about something they don't like. And there were a couple issues that a few residents did voice concerns on. And a lot of times it was just they wanted a little bit more understanding on something that was maybe a little big for them to to grasp at the very beginning, but once it was explained to them a little more clearly by counsel, they were pretty happy with what the result was.
Right. And most importantly, Ellen has given me to sign. We have a few more minutes, right? How do we get more people out to vote? I know in your district, people do vote.
We have a pretty good turnout.
Yeah, you have a pretty good. So talk to the general public about the importance of voting, because if you didn't take the time to vote, don't complain.
I say the same thing.
It's, you know, right?
You know, I do like when voters are educated on what they're voting on, but if you don't vote, you can't complain. You know, you're accepting other people's decisions for you wholeheartedly if you don't choose to participate.
Right. And I mean, with as much information as we have, we live in the technology age of information. People can find out about any candidate if they really want to. They can go on the web. They can listen to the TV advertising. They can speak to their neighbors. They can even go on the supervisor of elections office and get a lot of information where to find other information as well.
Sure.
So any forums coming up between you and the other folks running for that seat? Give us a little, anybody where someone can meet you, any events?
You know, I'm in a 2.7 square mile town. If you look on any of my stuff, you'll find my phone number, and I'm happy to come meet anyone, anytime. You know, I've done some coffee events where I've had a few people come, and we've talked about, you know, their concerns and what I want to do, and it's gone over very well. I'm at Gleason Park all the time with my kids. You know, they'll run off and jump on the swing, and I'm happy to talk to people while they're swinging or going down the slides. So I make myself as available as I possibly can for anybody that has concerns.
Right, and I'm sure, I mean, I know there are challenges to running for office. Have you run into any challenges that you say, wow, I didn't expect this?
It's been a rather pleasurable experience so far in this race. But, you know, you're always going to attract attention running for office, and all attention's not always great. And some of the attention that you get bothers you. It gets to you. Yeah.
Skewed.
You know, I don't want my kids exposed to some of that attention, but it's a risk that you take when you get into running for public office.
Right. And I think you just have to focus on why you decided to run, because you wanted to make a difference in your community. You have a lot of compassion, you have a lot of empathy based on all the volunteering that you've done with the elderly and so many people, and you love our environment. I think you'd make a great city council person, and whatever the good Lord has in store for you, I think it's going to be A-okay, and we will tell our friends and our listeners as well. So give us the website one more time if people want to go and follow you.
And since your phone number's on everything, you might as well say it.
Yeah, can you contribute? Sure. And you're still accepting monetary contributions?
I do. I did not set up city. Again, Indian Harbor Beach is a small town, and I have the opportunity to pretty much meet the entire electorate.
So you don't need
a I haven't gone out really seeking a lot of contributions. I have had a few offered my way, and I've graciously accepted them. But it's not a race that really requires a huge spend to go out and do it the right way.
Yeah. You know, this is word of mouth.
This is the kind of race that, you know, everybody dreams of. You can go out and talk to every single resident and really spread your word. You know, when you get into the bigger stuff, it's difficult to go out and speak to everybody. You have to do more forums. You have to raise more money. You have to do more advertisement.
Well, who knows, Mr. Torpy? This may be the start of things to come. Yeah, like Ali says, something big.
Well, they're no stranger in their household for running for office.
The name is well known.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So we've got a website. So I want to make sure that we get all of this information out. One more time for your website and phone number.
It's votetorpy.com is my website, and my phone number is 321-626-4510.
Is there anything you want to mention before you go off air? I'm sure you want to thank a lovely person with blonde hair.
My beautiful wife, who has been my campaign manager, and she is my rock. She keeps all this together.
And I just want to remind everybody that this segment was paid for by the Matthew Eric Academy. They are located 7640 North Weckham Road. They're a nonprofit organization. Their phone number is 321-446-4016. And we will be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right after these messages.
Actually, there's a correction. That segment was paid for by my sponsors.
your sponsors.
Yes,
my mistake.
I sponsor.
Okay. Well, when you said the PSA in the beginning, my mistake.
Yes.
But still, Erica, Matthew Eric Academy in Melbourne. We'll be right back after these
messages.
That's
okay. Hey, listen, this is why Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is unscripted, and it's fun, and it's educational, and people get valuable information. It's an in-kind donation to Mr. Tor.
There you go.
Thank you.
Nine Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture.
Welcome to MedFast Urgent Care. We are Brevard County's largest urgent care network. MedFast is now open at 7:30 a.m. every day. That's right, 7:30 a.m. every day. We will get you in and out so you can get back to your day. When you are sick or injured, MedFast is here for you 7 days a week. Think fast, think MedFast. With 18 locations, there's a MedFast near you. Call 321-MEDFAST.
Are you longing for a taste of Louisiana? Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine in or take out as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro, 2447 North
located
Wickham
in Titusville,
Road.
Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads. 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000 or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
We'll be right back.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and worldwide everywhere.
That's right. Every single Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we start our show. You can listen live. Just go to that 1510wwbc.com, and you can click on the Listen Live button. Get us on any one of your listening devices, or all of the archive shows are listed there on demand or on our website pages, which is sitamediainc.com and Facebook page, sitamediainc.com, and as well as Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
I know. I'm getting to learn my own name.
And you're doing great. Finally. Okay.
So you know, our show is fun. It's unscripted. It's very informative, and we give out valuable information. I think when you speak to people from your heart, the world can understand. And we all learn from each other. We learn from history. We learn from reasoning and understanding. And we learn that we have friends and family that put themselves out there to either run for office or volunteer or open a business. And our friend Kevin Johnson, together with his mom Liz Johnson, which for a very long time in my phone I had Liz there under Liz Johnson in parentheses, singer.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, because that's how we met. Every time you meet somebody, you write how you met him, right? But then we learned about Kevin and how he learned to cook from his mom. How many children stand in the kitchen when their parents are cooking and they watch what you do, right? So Liz, you're here to talk about Lisette's Cajun Bistro right here in Lake Washington, Florida.
Yes.
Take it away, my friend.
Okay. Hi, everybody. My first name really is Cheryl, and my middle name is Lizette, and that is how we got the name of the restaurant. And if you follow me on Facebook, it's Liz. And the story about that is I was an assistant principal, and I did not want the children trying to find me on Facebook, so I just went by Liz because they didn't know my middle name.
And now it's stuck. It's there.
So now everybody knows me by Liz, and they say, well, should I call you Cheryl? Should I call you Liz? You know, what should I call you? But one of the things that my son, Kevin, I think since he was 5 years old, he told me he wanted to be a chef. And I'm looking at him like, you don't even know what the word chef means, but I guess he did, right? So, but one of the things that his dad cooked, oh my gosh, he was a wonderful cook. And I used to work at Florida Today. And at Florida Today, we would have potlucks. And they didn't want me to cook. They wanted my husband to cook. So they wanted Kevin to cook. But I think cooking for Kevin has always been in his blood because I cook. I don't like to cook, but I cook. And I told them that as I was raising them, I cooked so you would not pass away. So, because that was not one of my great pastimes, but I did do that. But Kevin has always had a love for cooking. He went to Le Cordon Bleu and got his degree there. And he started out at, you know, the Hilton Resort over in Cocoa Beach. I can't remember the name of it. And he went in with another person with a restaurant called North by South Bistro, which was in Satellite Beach. And then when COVID hit, that kind of like put a, when everything closed down, it was a small restaurant. So it kind of, he decided to close it. And he said, if I open another restaurant, I want to pay homage to my roots, which is we're from Louisiana. He is from Louisiana by way of Arkansas because he was a military brat. So he wanted to open a restaurant, and he wanted to name it after me, my middle name, which is Lizette's. So that's how we came up with Lizette's Cajun Bistro. So what we do there is we do authentic Cajun and Creole cuisine or any Louisiana cuisine, and he makes it all from scratch, authentic. We don't use boxes or anything like that. So when anyone come to the restaurant, they come in, and it's made to order. So if you have jambalaya or gumbo, he may have the base already made for it, but you may come and say, okay, I don't like a lot of spices, or can you add this or that? And he can do that for you. So we are a small restaurant, but we're not like a fast food restaurant.
Right.
So when you come to Lizette's, don't expect to get your food in like 10 minutes. It may take 15, depending on what you order and how many people we have in the restaurant.
Right, and everything is seasoned right for your palate.
Yes, it's seasoned to your palate because people have different tastes. And so they say, well, can you not put A, B, or C in it? Sometimes we can, but if it's already like a like peppers and onions and stuff like that, if you've already put that in the base or the stock, well, you can't take that out.
Right, right. You know? And one of the things about Kevin, when you meet him, and we've met him before, and I've been to the restaurant quite a few times, he loves to cook and it's from his heart.
Yes.
You could feel that.
It is
right?
True. It is true.
And you know, in preparation for the show today, I was learning about the word bistro because I was like, there is a difference between a bistro and a restaurant and a food chain. And there were two interpretations. The first one was Russian and the second one was French. And I was like, wow, you know, it's interesting how it came about, right? So tell us a little bit about bistros usually have like a limited menu, right? And you go there and you just pick what you want. The chef customizes it for you. And it's all about the atmosphere. It's about the food and it's about you and that chef.
That is correct, because we are very small. We only hold about 40 people. If the place was full, it'll be 40, and we can't get any more, otherwise we get a violation. But the thing is, since it is small, he makes it to order. It makes it feel more like you're at home, like you're in your mom's kitchen, right? And I just learned from Sita that the Russian bistro meant hurry up. Well, I am sorry. It is not going to be hurry up at because he is making everything from scratch. But it's like a family. Right. We only have like 5 employees, and so it's so small that we don't have the benefit of some of the big, you know, like
chain.
The Applebee's and the big chains and things like that. So when people come in, we want you to feel like you're at home. Like your mom just cooked you this great meal, right?
So then would you say it's more like you're concentrating on the quality of the food, not the quantity of the food?
That is correct. We are concentrating on how the food tastes. But I must say that my son does give very generous portions. And so when people come and they say, oh, my God, I'm so full, I can't eat it all. So they're always asking for a takeout container.
I get my takeout box before I start when I go there, because I know that's my fish sandwich is so big and it's so tasty. I'm going to be eating some of it the next day.
Make sure you're hungry when you come to Lizette's, because I am telling you, he gives great portions.
So how does it feel to go from being an assistant principal working at the Florida today to now owning a business? Even though you're retired, you're still doing, you're singing at the business. You're still watching from afar, helping from afar. You got to help your son, and I feel it.
I help him a lot. I never thought that when I said I was retired that I would still be working, but I am still working. But I want to make sure that his restaurant is successful. And with the restaurant business, it's up and it's down. So you got to be able to roll with the punches, because the restaurant industry is hard. I have a master's degree. It's not in business, it's in education. But going into a business and not knowing all the nuances that goes on, especially with the restaurant and all the hidden figures in restaurants that you didn't know. Oh, my gosh, I didn't know that. That's hard. I thought that being an assistant principal was hard. Dealing with parents, dealing with kids, discipline, teachers,
bus drivers,
everything.
All that kind of stuff. Yeah.
But I don't think anything really prepared me with being a small business owner of a restaurant.
Right. It's hands on. You learn every day is a new day.
Yes. Look, I have gone in there, washed dishes, swept the floor, cleaned the bathroom. I've been a cashier. Some people say I talk too much, but I try to be very personable because I'm part owner. I talk. You know, and I try to get to know the customers. What do you like? You know, and you take the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes with the restaurant. But it is difficult. And many a nights I have cried because I'm like, oh, my gosh, what should I do next? You know, because it's not for the faint at heart.
That's right. And you're in a really nice location at the corner of Wickham and Lake Washington. That rent is not cheap. I know that.
No, it's not cheap. And you would think like being a because we face Wickham Road. And the thing is, like, the foot traffic we thought would be a lot more, but people are zipping by so fast that, you know, unless they know that we're there,
They're not going to stop.
They're not going to stop, and they're right. surprised because a lot of people have come and said, we didn't even know you were here.
Yeah.
You know, and we pass by here all the time. So I think getting our message out, like especially when we do the radio spot that we have here mm-hmm. and also other advertising that we're doing is to let people know that we're small, we are here, and we're ready to provide a great experience for the people of Brevard County.
And just a little plug for mm-hmm. FIT, they have the Women's Business Center. It's called We Venture for all small businesses that need resources that sit and say, wow, I don't know what's next or how to do this or probably 80% of it is free. It's just resources, meetings, people that you can connect with. So get in touch with, if you're a small business owner and you're, even if you're not struggling, even if you have something to give back, We Venture, they're right there, available right there, but almost the on 192, you can, yes. but you can go on, it's Babcock Street in the FIT Business Center is where it's located.
Right, and that's a so, good thing to know yeah. because yes. you could, I mean, because you want to know how to stay afloat with your resources and personnel and...
But sometimes it's just somebody to talk to.
Yeah, we had COVID. Now, mm-hmm. when COVID hit, that affected the restaurant as well.
Right, that affected his first restaurant that was North by South Bistro, which was in Satellite Beach. And they were doing really, really good. But when COVID hit and they closed, when you couldn't come in and we didn't have like Uber Eats or whatever with the restaurant, he had to close. And so that was to him was like a, you know, it wasn't his fault that COVID happened, but we closed the restaurant as a result of COVID because we couldn't keep it afloat. So one of my things as a person who's learning about the restaurant business is, like you just mentioned, what are the resources out there? Because what I don't want to do is I don't want to put my son in a position where he's in debt with the restaurant. So we have been doing everything. We'll pay for it as we get it or order it on our own without having to borrow money to do that.
Yeah. And I put him in debt. That, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
And this was from the beginning, you wanted to be there to help Kevin.
Right. So I'm doing that as much as I can as a mom and as an investor in what he is doing. But I want to make sure that whatever we're doing the right things to stay in business and not to, you know,
well,
be one of the...
Well, that's the vision of most parents, right? As you get older, bolder, and wiser, and you see your children, you want to leave the planet one day knowing that they're okay, that yes. you've set them up to succeed. Mm-hmm. No, you know, so you, what you're doing is you're putting in all the hard work to invest in him so that he would get a base. He would get people that knows about the restaurant, plans to come to the restaurant, bring their friends, have their events if they could, luncheons, dinners. So tell us a little bit about the customer base that comes to the restaurant.
Well, most of the people that come to the restaurant, they've heard about us through friends, or they were patrons of his at North by South Bistro. And of course, through our advertising, like can I say who we're
Yes, of
with?
Course.
Okay, so we advertise in the Lake Washington Living, Hometown News, and Ascension Catholic Church. Those are the three spots that we have right now. And it's word of mouth. We've also sponsored or been a part of some very good community service things here in the county. We went to like Succeed Indeed with my friend Anjanette, and mm-hmm. we actually were one of the vendors there that provided the food for people over at the St. John's Catholic Church in Vieira. We've also done like a gumbo tournament last year over in Orlando area. So we're trying to get our name out to let people know that we are here. Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the only Cajun restaurant in Melbourne. But you do have one, I think, in Titusville and one in Palm Bay. But I think that we come from the authenticity of, you know, the Cajun food and Creole food. And, of course, I know that you're not always going to, everybody that walks in their door is not going to like it. And we just take the good, the bad, and the ugly, as I said before, when it comes to that. We also offer entertainment on select weekends. We get people in from, like, Titusville, like Tony Wynn and Cameron Brown. We have Christine B. We have Elemental Groove. So we have different musicians that come in and perform on select weekends. This Thursday night, we have a comedy night. And the comedy night, it's an adult comedy night, so if you are shy or if you get offended, do not
come. Don't
because
come. In today's climate, you don't want no trouble in
right,
that department.
You don't want any trouble.
But,
so.
But I think the emphasis on Lisette's Cajun Bistro is the space, the family atmosphere, and let's talk about the decor. Because when you walk in, you do feel like you're somewhere in New Orleans.
Right. So when my son and I decided to select the decor for them, I said I want it to look like they're in a courtyard. And so we have the brick, the faux brick paneling on the bottom. And I wanted to have pictures that depict different elements in New Orleans as well as Louisiana. So we have different pictures. Like we have Bourbon Street. We have the cathedral. And we have like a mask, a Mardi Gras mask with the vivid pictures and stuff like that. And we have like the fleur-de-lis, we have those on throughout the wall. So those are things, like, okay, when you come in, it's like, okay, I'm sitting in the courtyard in New Orleans, you know, and I'm just enjoying. And sometimes I tell my son, you have to play Zydeco music or Cajun music and stuff like that to give them that they're in that atmosphere, like being in Louisiana. But sometimes he doesn't listen and he plays rap music. So
what a surprise. A kid does not listen. So what qualifies a restaurant to be a bistro?
Well, to me, when I thought of bistro, small and quaint.
Mm-hmm.
Very relaxing. Not a lot of hustle and bustle going on with it. Not a lot of verbiage. You know, something where you can come in, have a nice date night, and have a conversation with who you're with. That's what I think of a bistro, just very relaxed. Nothing is rushed, and the food is excellent. That's what I thought of a bistro.
That's right.
When
And people can have private parties there, too. And do you have? I know your deceased, the first Kevin's dad, passed away in the Cobar Towers in the terrorist attack. And I'm sorry, but I'm grateful for his service. Do you do military discounts and things like that?
Yes, we have a discount for military, first responders, and teachers. So, and retired and active duty. So if you have your ID, you come in, it's 10% discount. So we have that. We also have special venues as well. We just had a function a couple of weeks ago. It was called a Sip and Paint. So they come in,
are great events. Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. It was it was full, and what they did, it was through I can't remember her name right now because I'm having a brain freeze, but she contacted me, and I actually worked with her son in The Color Purple when I did The Color Purple at Henniger Center, and she did they came in and they painted. She provided everything that they needed to paint, and the only thing that we required them to do was just order food and the wine, and it was fun. And so this weekend is my birthday.
Yay,
so what I'm doing, it's not a private event, but it's going to be a 1920s theme. So if anybody wants to come, you can dress up in your 1920s attire. I am providing the music. I am singing throughout, and I'm also going to be playing music from the 1920s.
She's singing for her birthday for us.
That's awesome.
So the least we can do is show up, and I already bought myself a 1920s dress from Amazon.
Yeah.
My
wonderful.
Husband said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Right up the road. 2 minutes from the house." So maybe Mr. Torpy can get a little group together for lunch or something and come by. And yeah. Look, you've got
they
a customer
fantastic.
There.
Yeah. We're going. For
and
sure.
Maybe Allie could get a couple of her friends. I think what
I
it
don't
is.
No, I've got the menu up on my
see,
phone.
Right well, I think word of mouth is everything, right?
Yes.
And the minute I saw you posted it on Facebook about the birthday, I said, I'm going to invite some people. But then I had to keep in mind that only X amount of people could fit.
Right, it's only
so let's
people.
Just have a tent in our trunks just in case we have to put up a tent. Or people could buy the food and take it home.
Well, they
right?
really can. They
Their
really
takeout
can.
Is very good.
Mm-hmm. It's really good. So, but the thing is, we do have like the Red Hat ladies. They come and have their functions at the restaurant. A couple of retired teachers groups have come and had lunch at the restaurant. So any organization, if you want to have a business luncheon at our restaurant, we offer that as well. And we also offer like private parties for 40 or less at the restaurant too.
So if our friends are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today, we're speaking with Lisette's Cajun Bistro. My friend Cheryl Johnson is here. Her son Kevin is the chef, the owner. And I think this is what life is all about, right? It's We're helping each other. Small businesses need our assistance. The big chains have so much money to advertise and hire personnel and offer all these great benefits. But at least it's Cajun Bistro, you get that personalized feeling, that touch of a family member making that delicious macaroni and cheese. Or in my case, I always get the fish sandwich that I have Kevin cut it in half. So tell our listeners, how much time do they need if someone wanted to come by for a party of four or 40?
Well, it depends on what you order. Some orders take longer than others. The things that are like the po' boys, they're really quick to do. The gumbos are pretty quick, but if you have like the Cajun chicken pasta, it may take a little bit longer. The shrimp and grits may take a little longer. So I would say if you have a party of four or five or more, give us at least 20 to 25 minutes, because it's only two chefs in the back cooking, and they're cooking everything from scratch. So it's going to take them time to prepare each one of the meals, because we do not have a microwave and we do not have one of those heating lamps or anything like that. The only heating lamp we have is like when we set the food out for the server to bring out. That's the only.
So it's like being in your mama's kitchen.
It's like being in your mom's kitchen, because nothing is prepared already except for the basic the base of the jambalaya and the gumbo.
Yeah. What about a date night? Because we have a minute left. Maybe you should start a Lisette's date night where people bring, like Mr. Torpy here could bring Renee and show
great.
Up. And I could ask Amma to come by. Ellen could bring her guy. And Allie could find a partner from her retirement.
Usually Allie's my sidekick.
I would say every night would be a date night at the restaurant, because we need every customer we can get.
And Cheryl, there's a whole thing here on vegan stuff, too.
Yes, we do offer vegan options as well. So we try to be all-inclusive as far as what people like to eat. I mean, we can't compete with, like, you know, the breakfast and things like that, because we do have a vegan restaurant next door. So we try not to infringe upon what they offer. But people do come in and want to eat our food, but they want an option for vegan, so that's why we offer
it.
Well,
we have Christmas coming up, we have Valentine's coming up, we have a lot of holidays and birthdays, so anyone who wants to go there, and I think it's nice to invite your friends. Word of mouth is so important in this business.
It's
so tell a friend, right, tell a friend, yes, tell your neighbor, because you know what, if we don't support Kevin, we're not going to have a Cajun Bistro right here in Lake Washington. There aren't any around.
Thanks. So one more time for the website, the phone number, and the address.
Now, the website is LizettesCajunBistro.com. You can also follow us on Facebook. It's just Lizette's Cajun Bistro. And our number is 321-622-5281. And we're at 2447 North Wickham Road, unit number 146, between Island Pancake and the vegan restaurant, facing Wickham Road.
Right. And of course, she advertises every week on our show. So
that's
you'll always
be able
to catch
that.
Before you
go off air, where can we find you in your next play?
I haven't auditioned yet.
Okay.
Okay, there we go. We will make sure we keep you informed on all of that great stuff. Thank you again for a fantastic episode of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Folks, we'll see you next Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on 1510wwbc.com.